Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram to all the listeners of Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is the 22nd of January 2015 and it's 9:42 a.m. exactly, Indian Standard Time in Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual epicenter of the universe. Current temperature in the ashram is 24 degrees Celsius with an expected high of 30 degrees later in the afternoon. We are experiencing overnight lows of 19 degrees Celsius. Sai Ram, dear listeners, once again Sai Ram to all of you. My name is Karuna. I am honored to inform you that I have some solid inspiration lined up for you this morning on Morning Glory. And I also have a live, or should I say pulsating with life and Elan guest in the studio to share some exciting moments of his life as a Sai student. For the first time ever on Morning Glory, we have an in-house fleeting moments lasting memories live in the studio with a guest who incidentally happens to be my colleague at Radio Sai, and he's also the author of two published books. He's a much-followed blogger who uses the power of his pen and the gift of his gab to bring much joy to thousands around the globe, sharing the story of his love for his Divine Chancellor, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. So no marks for guessing that my guest is the much-loved and sought-after speaker, Mr. Arvind Balasubramanya of Radio Sai. Arvind is right now in the studio with Swami and I, and we'll be talking to him in just a bit. But first, some good news from Prashanthi Nilayam. We are very happy to share with you the news that the Sri Satya Sai Space Theatre, or the Planetarium, is now screening space shows almost all 7 days a week. And I want to share their schedule with you. So every Monday and Tuesday, we have Hindi shows. Wednesday, we don't have regular shows, but these are special bookings on request. Thursday, again Hindi. Friday, Telugu. Saturday, English. Sunday, Telugu. So as you can see, we are catering to English, Telugu and Hindi-speaking audiences or devotees of Baba. And this is really special for the Hindi heartland that comes here on Seva, and they love and enjoy. It's most likely the first ever visit by these devotees into a planetarium. They haven't seen one elsewhere. Now, entry begins at 10 a.m. and shows begin at 10:30, after which entry is not allowed. And a typical duration is about half an hour. Currently, we are screening a show called Sizing Up Space, Voyage to Mars and the Pluto Story. And we are further happy to inform you that more than 75,000 people watched the planetarium show in the calendar year 2014. That is from January to December 2014. This is a 25% increase over the previous year. And of course, credit goes to several people for this wonderful work. Amongst them, Sri Krishnam Raju, who is the Deputy Manager of Technology at the Planetarium, and two gardeners at the Planetarium, Mr. Manohar and Mr. Keshava, who cooperate and work as ushers all the time, and not to mention Radio Sai's very own Mr. Hari Nandakumar, who is the manager of the Planetarium. So with that good news, I'm happy to move on, and welcome, Brother Arvind Subramaniam, to Morning Glory. Sai Ram Arvind.
Sai Ram Karuna Didi.
How are you this morning?
I am absolutely fantastic and excited at this.
And so are we, and I'm sure so are the listeners. Now, Arvind, many devotees have read your blog or have a copy of one of the two books that you have published through the Sri Satya Sai Books and Publication Trust. So my questions to you will revolve more around the themes that concern young people such as yourself. Now, as a camera person, The world saw you working very closely with Bhagwan as you had your lens directed at him during the last few years of his physical presence amongst us. And he interacted with you all the time on most days. We noticed that sometimes he spoke to you several times right there in the Kulwant Hall within everyone's view. After getting so much love and personal attention from the avatar, how are you coping with the loss of Baba's physical grace and personal attention in the aftermath of the Mahasamadhi?
That is a real deep question for me actually, Didi, because when it happened, it's not only my experience, it took everybody by storm and by shock, and nobody ever thought it would happen that way. So when it first happened, you know, I had no time for personal grief or, coming to terms with what has happened, because I had to go and report to duty. You know, I had to photograph an event which I never thought that I would be doing in my life. And there were all the VIPs and all the people coming in. There was the entire media here. You know, first thing is, of course, I was pained. I was pained because, Didi, I felt, you know, Swami has done 7 water projects. He has done 2 hospitals and Odisha housing. It's such magnificent projects. Not one single media person ever even came within smelling distance of Puttaparthi. And here I was seeing 20-30 OB vans standing and covering this. And, you know, I first felt sympathy for the world. I said, you know, you got it all wrong. You are coming at the wrong moment and getting everything wrong. But at the same time, Didi, I must say, I have said this once, but I want to say it again. At that moment, it was overwhelming gratitude for me. Because, you know, in the years leading up to me joining Radio Sai, I still have one weakness, which is getting attached to people. And throughout my hostel days, I have suffered from this, where I get so attached to people and I expect them to do things for me and they don't do, and I get let down and I feel devastated. Anybody else will feel it is foolish, but for me it was such a strong problem, and I was just not able to, you know, sometimes even concentrate on studies because of my attachment problems. It's not like a, you know, modern day boyfriend, girlfriend kind of problem. Just anybody, with friends, with teachers, with everybody I would get attached. And the only way I resolved that problem was when my attachment shifted to Swami. Mm-hmm. And I feel that was such a beautiful blessing that Swami gave, and that is the beauty of a master, you know. When we have a weakness, he doesn't tell that this is your weakness, you have to overcome it. He makes us utilize our weakness into a strength. My weakness was me getting deeply attached. Swami just changed the soil from friends and relatives to Swami. And now my weakness, I could see, had become my strength because I was so deeply attached to him. And that is why I always used to pray, Swami, you know, I imagined that Swami would be leaving when he is 96. So I had told Swami, when you leave at 96, either make me a yogi or give me somebody who will, you know, shower love on me like you. Because, Swami, otherwise I will again get back into my attachment rut, and all the spiritual progress you have given me, I don't know what it is, but it will all go. And now when I look back, I see that that was the time in which, you know, Swami suddenly began insisting on my marriage. He told my parents, he spoke to my parents about that, and that's a very long story. But, and the other desire I had was, I said, Swami, when Shirdi Baba left his body, there were about 10 or 15 people around him. I don't know, Swami, I know that when you leave, I'll be around 40, because I'm always thinking of 96. Swami, at that time, I don't know where you will be and how massive and magnificent this place will be. So promise me, Swami, that I will get a chance to be near you, you know, when you are leaving, because I want to have the last darshan. That was strangely a prayer. And on that day, I remember on 24th April, I got a call from Chakravarti sir. I mean, a message from Chakravarti sir that I was needed immediately in the hospital. I had no idea this had happened. But I was there and I was told my duty was, the governor is coming to place a rose at Swami's feet, and I'm supposed to shoot a picture of the governor placing that rose at Swami's feet. And I'm supposed to shoot only that. I should not take a picture of Swami. I was not understanding what it was. It's only after I went there I realized what it was. And that was when they did the last aarti. Immediately my eyes brimmed with tears, because I felt, Swami, even in this situation, you know, you're ensuring that what my heart desired, that So that moment I just felt that Swami was a lamp who just burnt himself away physically to give light. Of course, he continues to do that now. And so when that happened, that is what actually made me go to blogging. Because when Swami was physically there, I noticed a correlation. Whenever I share some experiences about Swami with people, Swami seems to shower more physical attention on me. And I thought that this was something interesting because if I can assure Swami that, Swami, you know, whatever you give me, I will share it with 1,000 others. So Swami, your task is a little easy. if you are not able to give 1,000 people, you just give me. I'll ensure that selflessly I'll share it with others. And it seemed to be happening. I don't know if this is a solid theory, but I definitely saw the correlation. The more I shared about Swami, the more Swami seemed to be giving me. And that is when Swami physically left. That is when, as a challenge, I threw to him, I said, Swami, I don't know how I'll stay without you. But if that correlation holds good, now I'm going to share on a scale much larger than what I've been doing till now. I will hold up my end of the deal, you hold up your end of the deal.
And how is that playing out?
Oh, that is another beautiful story, Didi. So many, I don't know how to say, in so many ways. Of course, you know, they say God is present in the gross form, in the subtle form, and in the very, very subtlest form. In all these three levels, as a small example, when I had got an invite to go and speak in Singapore, that time Swami was physically there. So when I had asked him, he had permitted me, he said, yes, you go and come. That's a long story which I have captured in the book and the blog. I will not go into now. After that, after Swami left the physical, there was an invitation to go to Trinidad and speak. And you know, I was in doubt as to, Swami, how do I get my confirmation? So Swami had his own beautiful way, because the day I prayed, within 2 hours, there was copious and profuse vibhuti showering from a photograph at home. So I felt very thrilled. I said, Swami, before, you know, in the darshan, when I used to sit, I used to always find that, Swami, you should look at me. Even if I see you or not, you know, we used to have this concept of darshan and good darshan. Mm-hmm. Darshan is when we see Swami. Mm-hmm. And good darshan is when Swami sees us. Because that is good darshan.
Yeah.
So I felt that at home, Swami, now I'm not able to see you. But it's a good darshan because you are seeing me, Swami. You are hearing me. And this is just one instance. Many such things happen where when you pray, there is either vibhuti or, you know, all these coincidence kind of miracles. But the most hitting thing happened when actually I had to go and get my passport renewed. You know, that made me realize, see, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am present at three levels. In human beings, I am present as the conscience. Mm. That is like a moral compass that is there in all. But though the animals don't have a conscience, I am present at a subtler level, which is life. Life force. I am the life force that permeates all. Then what about stones and bricks? So there he says, I am even present there in a subtler manner, which is as energy. We know how much energy an atom has. An atom bomb is made. So that is the subtlest level. So like this, while a gross level was me getting permission from Swami, a subtler level was this vibhuti and all this, I realized the power of the subtlest level. You know, let me just share this, because I don't think it has been shared. I had to get my passport renewed. And when I went to Hyderabad, I thought I'll take a one-day leave. There's an Indian government office which is open only for 5 days.
Yes, and we know how that worked out.
Luckily, this passport office apparently has improved. So I was hoping that Friday my job will be done.
Uh-huh.
And basically, I needed my passport renewed. It was valid up to 2017. That's what it had been written. It was a very old handwritten passport which needed to be upgraded. And when I went there, the person who is, there are three sections. The second section, the lady asked me, can you give me your marriage certificate? That is when I realized that I had not taken my marriage certificate and my status had changed because I was married now. And if that has to come in the passport, if it has to reflect, I need to provide the marriage certificate. I said, oh, okay, I will get it. Then she said, sir, I will also need your 10th class marks card, your 12th class marks card. But I said, see, all this had been submitted when I got my 10th class marks card was submitted when I got my first passport. She said, no, sir, this is a new thing, new rules, we need it. Okay, then what do? You can come back on Monday. Now, Saturday, Sunday, I'm in Hyderabad. So I told her, see, madam, I am from Puttaparthi. And I was shocked, Didi, that she asked, where's Puttaparthi?
Oh, God, in Andhra Pradesh.
In Hyderabad, yes, in the passport office.
Wow.
Then I told her, Do you know Sai Baba, Satya Sai Baba? She nodded, no, I don't know. So then I just told her, see, Puttaparthi is a place where, you know, Satya Sai Baba is there. But anyway, it's 8 hours from Hyderabad. I don't know how I'll do it now. I'll have to stay over. She said, these are rules, sir. Either you come on Monday or come anytime within the next 1 year. I will keep it pending for 1 year. So you can directly, you need not go through the initial stages. So I just called up and I thought that let somebody in a train get it to send it via train to Hyderabad. I'll pick it up at the station. Stay 2 days in Hyderabad. Finish the job on Monday. Now, even as I was getting up, she's flipping through my passport. And she says, sir, what are these? Then I look there. She's looking at the immigration stamps of Singapore and Trinidad. Two Singapore stamps, one Trinidad stamp. I said, yeah, there I'd been. She says, had you been there, sir? I said, yeah, that is why, you know, otherwise how will it come? How did you go there, sir? I said, via the flight, of course. Then she says, no. This is a minor passport. It's an invalid passport. How did they permit you to go? And a minor passport. Oops.
Sorry about that.
Yes. It is a minor passport, which means it expires 5 years from date of issue or when you turn 18, whichever is earlier. And my first trip to Singapore was made when I was 27. And again when I was 29.
Wow, and somebody overlooked all this.
And it has just been sanctioned and I've gone and I've come back. And that is when I realized that, you know, I was foolish to think that Swami physically telling yes is his blessing or Swami showering vibhuti from his photo is a blessing. I realized that the very fact that I'm going to Singapore or I'm going to Trinidad or when recently I went to Dubai, anything... The very fact that I'm going there, why go that far? The very fact that I'm breathing, the very fact that I'm speaking now is Bhagwan's love, Bhagwan's grace. That is the subtlest level. And Didi, that is a realization which hit me. And frankly speaking, that is what has thrilled me. Because now I don't feel that I have to go to exactly Prashantiniliam at the chair. I do that now also before any major step that I have to take. Mm-hmm. If I have to go somewhere, I go bow down at the chair. But now I don't feel that because I feel, you know, the very fact that I'm sitting and speaking here, the very fact that I'm breathing is because the Lord wants me to breathe. If I'm having a tear of joy in my eye and joy in my heart, that is because the Lord wants. So, of course, through that pain, it has given me a connection to Swami at a much more subtler level so that I'm no longer dependent externally. Of course, I miss his form now and then and I cry that time. But the beautiful thing is after shedding those tears, I feel so happy and light. I feel so proud, so blessed to be able to cry for these. I think that I could have been crying for 100 other things. I am able to cry for Swami. What a blessing it is. Thank you, Swami. Thank you, Swami. I really feel that after Swami's physical departure, I have become more grateful in life to him.
That's phenomenal to know. Now, Arvind, I have to say that you defied the typical stereotype of a young Sai student and alumna serving in the ashram, dedicated to his mission and such, whom we generally identify with the white and white safari suit, generally single, unattached, rather reserved. That is because you're also a married person, and along with your parents and your wife, you have all settled in Puttaparthi. You also play many roles as a son, a husband, a professional person, a radio host, much more. Is it hard to balance all these roles and still stay focused on your priority number one, which is your relationship with Bhagwan?
In that way, again, Didi, I feel I've been blessed because priority number one for my parents, even before it became for me, has been Bhagwan. Mm-hmm. Priority number one for my wife is Bhagwan. Priority number one in my job, workplace, is Bhagwan.
Yes.
In fact, I say I've got the best job on earth.
You're right. You do.
Where I'm paid for reading about Swami, thinking about Swami, seeing Swami, speaking about him, and I'm paid for it. So it's
fantastic. It can't get better than this.
It just can't better. Can't get better. But here also, Didi, you know, again it has been a revelation because in the beginning even I was thinking of this. I was thinking that, you know, I told Swami also, in fact, sitting in front of a photograph before I joined Radio Sai, that's what I actually was telling him. I said, Swami, I would love to get married, Swami, because I feel I'm a person who gets attached. It's better rather than, you know, simply going nowhere, just have a good relationship, have a wife, and I would love to get married, Swami. I would like to travel the world, Swami. I love to see places. I want to be in India only, but I love to travel. And Swami, I also like to enjoy a little, you know, comforts in life, which money can get. But Swami, you know, I love you more than all this. And therefore, Swami, for your sake, though my mind is crying, my heart knows I'm doing it right. So for your sake, I want to give this all up. That is what I told Swami Didi. And two, three times after that, when I had to speak in some occasions, that is how they introduced me also. That time there was no books to my credit, no blog to my credit.
Mm-hmm.
They just introduced me as a young man who is brilliant academically, but who gave up everything for Swami. And I felt proud at that. But 2 years down the line, Didi, when somebody was introducing me like that, I told them to stop. Because once again, it is with tears I realized, Didi, I'm already married.
Happily married.
Happily married. With a wonderful wife who supports me, who is like my little Swami. That's how I've acknowledged her in my second book. I'm grateful to Pooja, who is my mini Swami at home. Because I see glimpses of Swami in her when she speaks some things. And I feel Swami is speaking through her to me sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a very comfortable, I have my own home. My parents are with me. I'm able to support my parents. And I'm having no qualms on the financial front. And I have traveled the world, which I would never have done it even if I was working in a multinational corporate, the way I have traveled and enjoyed on Swami's name. It is entirely Swami, otherwise I'm nothing.
Yeah.
And then I realized, you know, Arvind, you fool, it's a myth that you think that you're sacrificing for the Lord. What do you sacrifice for the Lord? It's like unknowingly you just say, the only positive possibility I had is I said, Swami, I want you. And with that, everything has got comfort. So actually, it's nothing special what I'm doing. I'm an utterly selfish person. And I'm just here because everything that I ever want and need is just being given to me. And I'm enjoying it at the feet of Swami. So I'm very, very happy.
I guess you sought the Lord. Everything else came as perks in that seeking. That's wonderful. Now, one last question, because I'm watching the time for today. Some people from the outside, Arvind, they tend to imagine that Swami was so strict about discipline and such matters as relationship and marriage, they were absolute taboos and could not be discussed. But your experience paints a very different picture. I know this stuff is personal, but would you care to share a little bit, please?
Sure, Didi. Actually, when I was a student, the way I thought that I want to spend my entire life with Swami, and because of these kind of stereotyping, as you say, you know, none of these is what Swami has ever told me, but people around will keep saying that, you know, this is how it is, you have to give up this, you can't, you have to walk barefoot. And I never thought that I'll get married. But then when that desire had come, I just felt that I don't want to get married for the sake of getting married. If I am finding a compatible partner, a friend on this journey towards God, it'll be nice rather than travel alone to travel together. And coinciding with that, some incidents happened which are not actually relevant, but because of which Swami one day calls me and he tells me that, if you have got any girl in mind, tell me. So I had no girl in mind as such. I said, Swami, no, Swami, nothing, I have not thought like that. Then Swami just said, no, if you ever come across a girl whom you want to marry, you tell Swami. I said, definitely, Swami, because what I have not hidden anything from Swami, so I said, yes, Swami, I will tell you. And in my heart, I told Swami, Swami, everything I tell you, what I have not told my mother, things about me which I won't dare to even tell myself, I have shared with you through prayers and this thing, so definitely I will. That was what I was thinking in my heart. But I thought that will never happen, because where will I? But then, you know, I don't know what happened. It was the summer of 2010. Yes, the summer of 2010. And we had returned after a trip to Delhi. And that time, my father was about to retire from the job, and Swami had told me that you let your parents come and settle in Puttaparthi. So I had taken a small...
From Mumbai, yes.
My father was working in Mumbai. So that was when I told Swami that I want to go to Mumbai for a few days to help my parents wrap up things so that the packers can get everything here. And we were flying down directly to Parthi to settle, and all the packers will be getting our stuff from Bombay to Parthi. That was when I went there. I happened to see Pooja for the first time in my life. And not for the first time in my life, but I had seen a few photographs, because she is my sister Shruti's classmate from primary school and Anandpur College. And so it was natural that she visited my home often, but I was never at my Bombay home. ever since I joined Swami school, I've always been here only. And so I never met her face to face or anything like that. But the first time I saw her, I don't know what happened, Didi. Inside, it was, you know, partially maybe love the way they show it in romantic movies. But partially it was like a conviction that this is my perfect wife. I don't know how to explain that, but I just felt this is going to be my wife.
Like an epiphany.
I just felt it within that, you know, we two will be living together as husband wife. And this is the first time I'm seeing her.
Hmm.
And I was sharing with her because they had come. I started speaking about Swami. And I saw that she was so drowned in Swami. And that only reinforced my feeling. I felt, oh my God, this kind of love for Swami, this is beautiful. That is what I had thought. So then we shifted to Parthi. And that is when the connection severed. I thought, it's over. I mean, it was just a momentary connection and I just forgot about it. But then I remembered what Swami had said. Now, I had never thought that such a thing would happen in life. So, I was scared to actually get up and tell Swami. So, I wrote it down in great detail in a letter. And I said, Swami, this is how it is. Her name is Pooja. I saw her. When I saw her, I felt like this, Swami. This is what I felt. So, and I gave the letter to him, which he took and, you know, passed it on to the people who were walking behind him, behind the wheelchair sofa. And so, that's it. I mean, I never thought that physically Swami's eyes ever fell on it because the next few days Swami continued to interact with me, smile at me. I felt, Swami has not read it, so I am safe. I have done my job.
Uh-huh.
But the amazing thing was, this was in June. Shift to November. In November, Didi, on 17th of November to be precise, Swami conducted a mass marriage. And before that actually an event had happened, which possibly I'll come to later. But why I'm telling this to complete it is on 17th November, I was taking photographs of the mass marriage, all the couples, 85 couples. Swami suddenly called me and said, how are the photos? I said, Swami, good. Swami said, if you had brought your girl, I would have got you married here. And by then, you know, I had, that was, as I said, it was a fleeting moment. And it had not yet become a lasting memory at that time. So I just told Swami, Swami, I don't have any girl. Hey, you have a girl. You have a girl. That's how Swami said. And he left it at that. I was still in mystery whether, you know, is Swami referring to Pooja or is Swami referring to some other girl who is going to become my wife. So that was the initial hint that he gave. And when he gave this, it demolished all this, you know. Means you can't have a rule and say Swami is like this, Swami doesn't like this, Swami likes this. Nothing like that. It's a very personal one-to-one relationship. That is how it is with God. That's why it's the most beautiful romance in life. Romance with God. Because He understands your hearts well. He understands your needs the most. And He responds as per your needs on a very personal individual basis.
That's wonderful to know. And I really want to go on with this conversation, but I'll request you to just hold that thought where you pause today, because due to time constraints, we have to move on to the next segment of Morning Glory right now. But next week, same time, I want us to continue this conversation from where we paused. Thank you so much, Arvind. I've enjoyed it. It's been great fun having you here.
Thank you, Devi.
Lot of learning, lot of energy.
Great pleasure for me too.
Thank you. So dear listeners, you just heard a live episode of an in-house fleeting moments with my studio guest and my colleague, Brother Arvind Balasubramanya. Next week on Morning Glory, we will continue this conversation right here, so don't forget to tune in. Meanwhile, it is now your turn to send in your feedback to this live from the studio in-house fleeting moments. As always, you can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. Until we meet next week on Morning Glory, Jai Sai Ram.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
The 90th year of Bhagwan Baba's Divine Advent is here. What are you planning to offer at his lotus feet? How about a gift wrapped in red? If you wish to partner with the Sai Healthcare to save a precious life, please take the time to donate blood at the Sri Satya Sai Super Specialty Hospital whenever you are visiting Puttaparthi. The blood bank is open Monday through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Every single day, patients undergo life-saving procedures here, and a pint of blood can make all the difference. Let's build a favorable blood inventory. If you're a healthy adult, please donate. For more information, please visit psg.sssihms.org.in. Blood, it's in you to give. Please donate. Sai Ram.